This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you for this, and we pray, Lord, that as we are together today, that you will speak to us through your word. God, I pray that you will grant us understanding and a meekness to receive that word, Lord, that it may produce in us its purpose, which is life. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's still raining. It's great. Thank you, Lord, for that. Just to check, last week we baptized two people, and we also announced that today there will also be a baptism. So I just need to see, is there anybody here this morning that is planning to be baptized? Just need to see. If you're here, please wave vigorously your arms that I may see you. There's one. Okay, great. Is there anybody else? Okay, so we are going to go baptize again today. Rain or shine. Look, you're going to get wet anyway. So it's okay. It's okay. It will not be at the Old Harbor because something is happening there. So we will be at the Getay Pool. At the Getay Pool. By the Marine Hotel. The Marine, what do you call it in English? Tidal Pool. Yes, not a tidal wave, just a tidal pool. Great. We are still continuing with God's vision for church as opposed to our own, and whether we are willing to become the church God wants us, desire us to be. In Acts chapter 2, we've been reading now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So last week we've been looking at the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the internal work and the external work of the Holy Spirit. What it means to be born again and what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we looked at the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we ended off last week with the scripture in Galatians chapter 5 that says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And so I want to continue with our relationship with the Holy Spirit and what it means to live in the Holy Spirit, but also to keep in step with him, because it speaks of two different realities. And last week, we really spoke to the reality, what it means to live by the Spirit. It means to be born again. It needs to become a new creation through salvation, which is by the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms us to become a new creation. But now the Word of God says, now that you live by the Holy Spirit in this new creation, you must also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And that in itself refers to two different realities of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. One is an event that continues, but it also speaks of another aspect of the Holy Spirit moving. The Holy Spirit in our life is not just an event, but the Holy Spirit is moving. And so the Word of God says, now that we live in the Spirit, we must also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, we need to align ourselves with where the Spirit is moving. Because he's not where he was yesterday. He's moving. The Holy Spirit is at work. Not just in our lives, but in the world around us. And the Word of God encourages us, those who live by the Spirit must also keep in step with the Spirit. I don't know if you were still in the army. Anybody? You know, remember when you had to march and you had to keep in step with? I love this. I always relate to the military. Keep in step with. In other words, you can see when somebody is out of step. Nah? And then the corporal comes. And then everybody is out of step for a while. And then we come back again and we try again until everybody is in step with one another. And so the Word of God says that we need to be in step with the Holy Spirit. But this leads to another question, and I think there's some confusion around this. Is the Holy Spirit a force, or is the Holy Spirit a person? Catherine Kuhlman once said, there are literally thousands and thousands in the great charismatic movement who have never become acquainted with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, only with His gifts. What a powerful statement. And as I pondered upon it, I realized it is so true. There are so many people within the charismatic movement that is acquainted with the gifts of the Spirit, but not with the person of the Holy Spirit. And I realize many of the confusion within the church concerning the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is because unintentionally, subconsciously, we have related to the Holy Spirit more like a power or a force than a person. It's something that we want God to come and bestow upon us to change us, rather than understanding it is a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And so for many, the baptism or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is an event that takes place, and then the Holy Spirit supernaturally needs to flow in the gifts through us. It's from an event to the gifts. It's like we're waiting for this power to come upon us, that it may cause us to do certain things. And that's so sad, because that's not who the Holy Spirit is. It's not like in Star Wars, may the Force be with you. He is a person. And so it is important for us, when we look at this verse in Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. How do we keep in step with the Spirit? Now, to answer this question, we first need to understand this reality that the Holy Spirit is a person and not a force, not a power. Even though He empowers us, He Himself is a person. The original Greek, it's very interesting, every time a pronoun is used in reference with the Holy Spirit, it is the word He and not it. He, the Holy Spirit. Not it, the Holy Spirit. And immediately in the Greek language, we see it is very clear that the Holy Spirit is not a force and a power, but a person. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is part of the mystery of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is a person as much as Jesus is a person, as much as the Father is. It's part of this mystery of a relationship between the three persons, yet in one. In the Great Commission, Jesus, of course, you should know that. I don't have it on the screen because you should know it by now. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's part of the Trinity of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is God, omnipresent, eternal, and the Word of God declare that we ought not to grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4 verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of the Word of God also says that the Holy Spirit can be sinned against. Here in Matthew 12 verse 31, it says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of God, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age nor in the age to come. Now think about that for a moment. The Word of God also says we should not lie to the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, we read, and a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came among all those who heard these things. You know, these scriptures are a powerful reminder lest we become blasé about God and the things of God and the Spirit of God that lives within us. The fear of the Lord, I fear, has left the modern church to a large extent. But more of this on another time. The Word of God also says that we are to obey the Holy Spirit and that we are meant to follow Him. He is the long-awaited promise of God within us. You see, Jesus came Emmanuel, that means God with us. And then He said, but there's another promise. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go away, my Father will not send the Spirit. But as I go, I will ask Him to send it to you, and He will live within you. You see, the Holy Spirit is God within us. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And again, there is certain realities and truth about the Holy Spirit in us. As awesome a promise it is, God is still a consuming fire. He did not change. The covenant under which we stand today have. So we can approach Him with boldness in mercy and grace. But He is not a soft toy. God is still a consuming fire. But that's not what I want to preach on. But it's very clear throughout the Word, I cannot escape the fine print. There are certain realities and truth about the Holy Spirit within us. He is called the Spirit of Truth that leads us into truth. He is called the Advocate, the seal of our salvation. He is called the Comforter. He is with us always. He is called the Helper. He is to conform, to help us, to conform us to the truth. These names help us to understand the Holy Spirit's purpose and how we can align ourselves with Him. We have been born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have become a new creation, which is an event powerfully by the work of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life. But that event continues with a purpose. And that purpose of salvation is a restored relationship with God, that we can come into His presence without fear of condemnation and judgment. But that relationship, like any relationship, is ongoing. It's not just an event. The empowerment even of the Holy Spirit is not just an event. It is a relationship with God that we keep in step with Him as He is moving, because a relationship is something that continues. And if you are married, you can ask any spouse. That relationship is not something that happened the day we got married and ended there. It's something that started on that day, that continues. That is what makes marriage flourish and bear great fruit, is when the relationship that started at the day of a covenant continues to the very end. And so too, relationship or marriage is a reflection of a greater relationship between us and God that is meant to continue from that great event when we surrendered our life to God and we became, by the power of the Holy Spirit, a new creation. We were born again, redeemed. And so we enter into the family of God to have a relationship with Him. That relationship has got purpose. And that purpose in this relationship with God is to become more like Him. Is to become more like His Son. That is the purpose of our salvation. Not just the freedom from the guilt of sin, but the freedom from the power of sin, so that we can be transformed to become like His Son in this world. And we read this often in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit in us is to transform us to become more like Christ. And if we understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it will help us to understand what it means to keep in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit has a purpose and a direction that it moves. And for us as believers, it's important to understand what that purpose is so that we can align ourselves, come in step with the Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe I must illustrate this. Who has marched before? Where's my old army buddies? Anybody? Yes, come, someone. Yeah, you come. Yeah, you know what it means to march. Here we go. No, we'll have to stand on the stage, otherwise, no. Now I need another buddy. Come. Out there more. Come, stand yourself, stand yourself, stand yourself, stand yourself, stand yourself, stand yourself. Okay, no. Let's stand like this. How are we going to do this? No, you've got to march past everything. Okay, are you ready? No. Stand this side. Hier kan toe troep, hier kan toe. Hierso. Last side. Rug op die rechtervleel, voorwaarts, mars. Links, rechts, links. Boom, you see? Doesn't look good, eh? Do they look in step for you? No. Let's try again. Rug op die rechterveel, voorwaarts, mars. Links, rechts, links. Oh, no, okay. They're trying. They're old soldiers. I'm too quick for them. Okay, but you get the idea. You need to keep in step. There is movement. And God says we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit because He's moving somewhere. And those of us who live by the Spirit should also keep in step with the Spirit because He's going somewhere. But we need to understand where He's going, because otherwise we would be going that way. But if we understand He's going this way, this is His purpose, so that we can align ourselves, soos hulle sê nie, weer mag op die rechtervleel, rug op die rechtervleel, align, what's that in English? I didn't march people in English. Who did it in English, man? Huh? By the right, quick march. There we go. By the right. In other words, rug op die rechtervleel. In other words, you align yourself with the guy on the right. Okay? Align yourself with the guy on the right, quick march. Okay? So you need to align yourself with that person. Because if you don't align yourself with the guy on the right, you might be going this way instead of that way. And so God says, listen, yes, since we live, let us also keep in step with and able to keep in step with. We need to know where He's going. And one of the directions, one of the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to transform us to become more like Jesus, not like Bill Gates. So we are aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit that wants us to become like Jesus, not like Bill Gates. And if we don't understand it, it will be difficult for us to keep in step with the Spirit. Because we'll keep on starting, going off in a different direction. So therefore, it is important for us that since we have the Holy Spirit and eternal life by the Holy Spirit, that we need to keep in step with His movement. And the Holy Spirit is moving somewhere. He is preparing the bride of Christ for the return of Christ. He is preparing the bride and those of us who are in the bride to become like the bridegroom. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you things that are to come. What a powerful word. If you want freedom, you need to submit. Just like Jesus submitted to the Father, he said, I do not speak on my own accord, but only what I hear the Father says. And the Spirit will come, and he will not speak on his own authority, but what he hears the Father say. And so too, we are called. It says here that the Spirit will come and he will guide you into all truth. What is the truth, you may ask? You know, John chapter 18, when Jesus was interrogated by Pontius Pilate, Pilate therefore said to him, you are a king then. Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is the truth? And didn't wait for the answer, but left the room. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He also said in John 8, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus also said in John 15, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, he shall send, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. I think this is so important for us to understand. Part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to testify of who Jesus is to lead us into the truth of who Jesus is. The words of Christ. Who was Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Word of God. We read it in John chapter 1 from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 we read, and the Word became flesh. And so we see that the Holy Spirit came to testify. He's called the Spirit of the truth. He came to help us to know the truth, who is Jesus, to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus taught us, so that we can rug op die rechtervleel, so that we can align ourselves with Jesus and follow the way that leads to life. That's part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. Because everything that Jesus said is truth. And what he said so that we may know the truth, so that we may have the life that it brings. And so in John 6, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that do not believe. The challenging thing is, Jesus' words is the truth. It leads to life. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come to remind us and to help us to continue in the truth. But here comes the challenge. Not everyone believes. God's word is the truth. But there are some that deny that. In John 17, verse 14, we read, I have given them, Jesus prays to the Father, I have given them your word. I have given them your word. It is recorded for us by the Holy Spirit. The inspired word of God. We have access to it. And Jesus says, Father, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is to lead us continually in the truth. There are even some within the church that deny this. Some that claim that Jesus' words are not applicable because it was spoken before his death and therefore under the Old Testament and is not relevant to us. But you know what? Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in verse John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance everything that I have commanded you, everything that I have taught you. So the Holy Spirit, after the resurrection of Christ, has come to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus said before his death, so that we can continue in it, because only you have the words of eternal life. And in Matthew 28, we read it so well, and we know it so well. All authority in heaven and earth had been given to me at the resurrection after 40 days before the ascension. Jesus gives the final instruction, says, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, my favorite English word, you must go and make disciples. How? You must baptize them, have them make a radical decision, a radical response to follow me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. For 2,000 years, the church have followed the teaching of Jesus, and the true church will continue to follow the teaching of Jesus until the day he returns. And the world will hate us for it. Do not be surprised if you stand on the truth that is in the Word, that the world will hate you for it. Jesus warned us, prepared us for this reality. Do not be tempted to compromise the truth for the sake of the world. The world will hate us for following the truth. It is a reality. Jesus said in John 17, remember, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Why? Because your words are true. That's verse 17. Your word is truth. You see, one aspect of the Holy Spirit's purpose is to lead us into the truth and to help us to conform, become like the truth, which is Jesus, which is the Word. Therefore, conforming to the truth is becoming Christ-like. So how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now again, I can ask any parents here, how does your children grieve you most? When they are disobedient. When you tell them to do one thing, go this way, this is the way of life, this is the way we do in this family, and your children decide to do the opposite. They all do, even mine. I know the disappointment. I know the grieving when our children are disobedient. They do not follow the way. And in the same way, it's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit leads us to the truth, but we decide to do something else, we decide to follow the alternative. And like I said last time, all alternatives are lies. And the father of lies is the devil himself, and he started this journey with humanity with this question, did God really say, did God really mean, let me give you an alternative. And so the Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth, to show us the way to life. Let us not grieve Him by choosing the alternatives out there. Now let me say it anyway. There's a very well-known singer. What's his name? Doesn't matter. Apparently, he's the most famous singer out there. Clearly, I don't know. So he's not that famous. But anyway, apparently, other people know him. He has now decided, he is confused whether he's male or female. I think a three-year-old can tell him that, what he is. But nevertheless, he is confused. He's confused whether he's male or female. So now, nobody is allowed to speak to him as he. Nor she, because he's confused. So when you address me, please call me they. No, wait. This is not all. The world celebrate his boldness for being so honest. And they call him they. How are they doing today? They look perfect, or they do not look perfect. But needless to say, now if you stand for the truth, the world will hate you. If you tell them, dear sir, let me help you, you are a he, not a they. The world will hate you for it. But there is just one truth. It's God's truth. But the world will give you the alternatives. And so there's court cases of transgenders who have given birth to children that now do not want to be called the father of the child, but the mother of the child. Or the father. Even though they gave birth to the child. They are not allowed to be called the mother of the child because they are transgender and they are now confused. So you're not allowed to call me the mother of the child, even though I gave birth of the child. You see how the world is corrupt in its thinking. But it's because they're rejecting the truth that they become so perverse in the way they live. And if you stand for the truth, the world will hate you for it. But that was for free. It's not in my notes. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? The same way children grieve their parents, through disobedience. The Holy Spirit will lead us one way and then we'll choose to go another way. And there's one thing about God that is so amazing. He's all-powerful, eternal, a consuming fire, but He will never force us. He will lead us. He will never force you. He will lead you. And the challenging thing about leadership when you lead is others need to follow you. And God is a leader. He's not a dictator. He's a leader. It is the truth. I mean, you don't need to believe it. But it is what it is. And I'm going to lead you in this truth so that you may have life. But I'm not going to force you. So God leads us. And we need to respond to who He is in faith and choose to trust Him and follow Him. And if we have faith in Him enough to follow Him, guess where He leads us? To where there's life. However, if you choose not to follow Him, the destination is also very clear. It's death. It's hell. It's a place you don't want to go to. So God pleads with us. I say, I put before your life and death. Choose life. But it's your choice. I'm going this way. And so we need to understand this about God. He leads. He does not chase us. He does not force us. He simply leads. And we are expected to follow because He is God and we are not. He is the one that decides what is good and evil. Not us. But that was our temptation. You can decide for yourself what is right and wrong, good and evil. But God is the shepherd. We are the sheep. We follow the shepherd, And as we know, in the Middle East, the shepherds led the sheep. They did not chase them. They simply spoke to them, sang to them, and the sheep followed them. In John 10, we read this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber." If he doesn't go through Christ, he's a thief and a robber. "But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet, as strangers, they will by no means follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." How do we know, distinguish, whose sheep belongs to the shepherd? Well, it's very simple. The sheep that follows the shepherd, that is his sheep. Those who are led by the shepherd are the sheep of the shepherd. Those who do not follow the shepherd is not the shepherd's sheep. If you are led, and this is important to understand about God, he is a leader, he will lead us. But if you are led, you cannot always do what you want. You cannot always go where you want to go. You need to go where the leader goes, the shepherd goes. If you are led, you cannot always go where you want to go. And therefore, we read in Psalm 23 so powerfully that David boldly makes this statement that the Lord is his shepherd. And the result of that is, "I shall not want, because he leads me." But then it also says something powerful. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know what? When I want to stray from the truth, you correct me. That's part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to guide us in the truth, and when we go astray, to correct us, to say, "This is the way." Jesus is the great shepherd that showed us the way. But in the same way, God did not leave us orphans when he took his son back home. He said, "I will not leave you orphans, but I will send you another helper. In the same way I showed you the way, but I'm going back to my Father, it is to your advantage that I go away, because when he comes, he will show you all things." And so the Holy Spirit leads us in the same way as Jesus did on the earth. That's why Romans 8 verse 14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." In the same way we know the sheep belongs to the shepherd, those who follow the shepherd, we know who belongs to God, those who follow God. And so the Holy Spirit has come. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to lead us, not to force us, not to push us, but to lead us into the truth. And so he will speak to you and me through the word and through the truth, the way of the truth. And we need to decide who we're going to follow. Romans 8 says, like I said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." How do we know? How do we distinguish who is indeed the sons of God? It's those who are led. Those who follow. But you know, being led requires a humility, a surrender, and a willingness. I'm sure you've heard many sermons on Psalm 23, what they do with the little sheep that do not want to follow. I don't think Jesus was trying to say that, but it is interesting nevertheless. But the reality is, God is not confused who is his sheep. He's not confused who are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit has come to lead the way, and we should not grieve the Holy Spirit by going our own way, but to follow him. But being led requires a humility, a surrender, and a willingness, and most important, a faith in the leader. And that's part of the wisdom of God. When He says, when you surrender yourself to me, I'm not going to force you. I'm simply going to lead the way. And you follow me. And you will have life. But it requires a faith in the leader, faith in God, faith in His truth, and faith in His word. Because the world is an enemy of God. The world's way will not lead you to God. And all ways do not lead to God. As a matter of fact, God makes it clear that very few find the way that leads to me. It's not broad, it's narrow. And it seems difficult, and at times it is, but it leads to life. So we need to have faith in the leader, faith in God, faith in His truth, faith in His word, a humility and a willingness to surrender to Him and to follow Him. So last week we spoke about saving and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. This week, an introduction to another aspect of the Holy Spirit, and that is to lead us into truth. And if we understand that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into truth, we can align ourselves with Him and come in step with Him, because it will help you to understand how this relationship with Him works. But I found so many people struggle to understand their relationship with the Holy Spirit because they do not know the purpose of the Holy Spirit. They think the Holy Spirit is only here to give us the gifts. But that's such a small aspect. It's the empowering part of a direction that He's moving into. And if we come in line with Him in the direction that He is going, the gifts will make sense. Because the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is to make us more effective witnesses to His purpose. But if I come in alignment with Him, that gifts make sense. But if I think the gifts is here for me, stationary, where I'm comfortable, what I want, that's why there's so much confusion. And so many says yes to the gift, but no to the purpose. I want the gift, but I don't want the purpose. I want the gift, but I'm not so sure if I want to be a witness. But that's the whole point. If you are willing to follow His lead, He will empower you to succeed. And there lies the key. There is one of the reasons I believe so many are confused about the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, because we miss the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It is a person, a relationship. Just like we have one with the Father and the Son, we have one with the Holy Spirit. And next week we'll continue on the other aspects of the purpose of the Holy Spirit. This is not it. But if we don't understand that He is a person that is going some way, and we have a relationship with Him, and in coming in line with Him, all these other things come to fruition, we will always struggle and be confused. So the first step is a simple question. Is, are you willing to be led? That's really how we keep in step with Him. We first need to ask ourselves, are we willing to be led? Or do we still want to do it my way? And with that, I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out communion. And I want us to reflect on that before we continue with this next week. Are we willing? Are we willing to be led where God is leading us in His truth? Or do we want to do it our own way? And so I want us just to reflect on that for a moment, just where you're seated, as we wait for one another, as we hand out the elements of the communion. Are you willing to be led? That will require humility and a surrender, but also a faith in God, His truth, and His way. And while you're considering this, will you also consider what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? For many of us, we have been following God and His Spirit, but I believe for some of us, God is speaking to you today. The Holy Spirit is reminding you, maybe correcting you, maybe challenging you, maybe leading you in an area of your life. I don't know what this area is. I don't know whether it's in the area of righteousness, in other words, sin that you need to let go of, maybe an alternative that you are following, or a way God is challenging you to take a step deeper. I don't know what it is, but I want you just to, for a moment, to reflect on that. And just speak to God. Are you willing to follow Him? Because I want to encourage you. Wherever He leads you, there is life at the end. But the flesh needs to die. It's the process of God. It's the purpose of God. And yes, it's not always easy to let go of our sin and our desires and what we want. But He has given His life to prove to us that what He has for us is far better. So I want us just to consider that as we wait for one another. Just as you are in your own time, just speak to the Lord. Are you willing to be led? What is He speaking to you about? Just where you are. Let's just consider that for a moment. Let's speak to Him. God, we want to thank You that You did not leave us orphans. You did not leave us by ourselves to try and figure it out for ourselves. God, but You gave us Your Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within us. Father, we want to thank You for this. God, we want to pray, Holy Spirit, that You will help us to know the truth. God, we humbly submit to You because we have faith in You, God. We have faith that You have the truth and that You have eternal life. We have faith in You that You love us, that You have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You've proved it through Your Son on the cross and His resurrection and pouring out Your Spirit within us, giving us the confidence to have faith in You. Lord, I pray that You will make us sensitive to Your voice, Lord, to know the truth. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, we are willing to listen when You speak to us, when You want to lead us in a different way to where there's life. God, I pray that this morning, Lord, we will make a decision today that we'll put our faith and trust in You and that we are willing to follow You where You lead us. We thank You, Lord, that You will as we turn to You. God, and I ask that You will give us the grace to apply every step that You show us, every truth that You reveal to us. God, I pray for the grace, Lord, to be transformed, to become more like You in this world. because this world so desperately needs the truth. It is so confused, so perverse, so hurt, so broken, so messed up. It needs the truth. And God, we pray, Lord, as you reveal to us your truth, Lord, that we will be willing to follow you, that you will make us sensitive to your Holy Spirit. You said, Lord, we don't even need to prepare what to say when we come before kings, because at that moment, you will speak to us and through us. God, I pray that you will help us on this journey to become so sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, that we know when it's you that speak to us and that we'll be willing to be obedient. Lord, thank you that we are not alone, that you are with us. We ask that you will do this in and through us, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that this is all possible because of your sacrifice. No longer do we need to go to a temple to be in the presence of God through an intermediary. No longer do we need a priest to go on our behalf into your presence. God, we thank you that you sent your Son to break the chain, but also that what separated us. Lord, the veil was torn so that we have access into your presence. Lord, we thank you for this. May we not take it for granted as we come into your presence. Lord, let us not forget the cost as we eat together. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, you say that you have come to give us life and life more abundantly. Oh Lord, thank you that you have saved us from this world and redeemed us into yours, the kingdom of light, eternity, that we have an inheritance waiting for us that will continue forever and ever as we simply pass through this life. Lord, it is difficult in this world to know where to go. A time so confusing and the temptations so strong. But Lord, we pray that you will guide us into it. Always the truth. Thank you. That is why you've died and you've sealed us with your blood so that we may have access to you and you to us and you live within us. Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we confess our faith in you and your sacrifice for us and the life that you've promised and the Spirit that is within us. Help us, Lord, to be willing and obedient. Help us, Lord, to conform to the truth that you show us. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Next week we will continue. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I'm going to speak about how do we hear the Holy Spirit's voice. How do we hear God speaking to us? How do we hear Him leading us? But if you are here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to God, or you're at the place where you feel far away from Him, and you want to come back to God or surrender your life to Him, I would love to pray with you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to dismiss the meeting. Thank you for coming. We're going to sing a song and then we're going to go. And if you need of prayer, maybe you need of healing, maybe there's something else in your life that you need prayer for, I'm going to be here for a while as we worship together. And then please remember to fellowship, take a cup of coffee, connect with somebody you don't know just for 2 minutes before you connect with somebody you do know. Let's just fellowship and glorify God through that. But may God bless you. And I trust that you will be sensitive as you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And you will hear His voice. You will hear His voice if you simply believe. And then we're going to baptize. My wife is correct. We're going to baptize. So it is now, I can't see. It's 11:05. Half past 11, we're going to be at the Old Harbor. If you can join us, it'll be awesome. Marine pool, the marine pool, not the Old Harbor. If you're the only one there, there's a reason. Please join us at the marine pool. Okay, let us stand, let us pray. Let's just worship God. And if you need a prayer, please come forward.
We've come to join this song, sung long before our lives, to raise our voice along heaven and earth alike. We've seen your faithful hand, your mercy without. Sing together. So be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. Unto you the slain and risen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.